Agotavach, Shavuot Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. And I would like to begin tonight by dedicating our learning for Refua Shlema for Alter Feivel Nachum Shalom Ben Fega. Alter Feivel Nachum Shalom Ben Fega. In the zchus of our learning, they should have a Refua Shlema, and all those who need a Refua should have a Refua, and all those who need a Yeshua should indeed have a Yeshua. I'd like to focus tonight on a famous pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, and that is when Yaakov Avinu works for Rachel after he had married Leah under false pretenses, let us say, and then he works for Rachel for another 7 years. And the pasuk says, "Vayavod Yaakov v'Rachel sheva shanim." Yaakov works for Rachel 7 years. "Vayu bi'ainav ki yamim achadim be'avaso osa." And it was like kiyamim achadim. It was just like a few days. These 7 years passed like a few days. And here all the mefarshim wonder, how is it possible that in the psychological experience in the human condition that Yaakov Avinu could have experienced these 7 years as just a few days, as time going by swiftly? When a person is yearning and pining and longing and anticipating some event, you know, the time goes by, ticks on the clock much more slowly, because every moment is, you just can't wait. And yet, so there are three basic approaches in the Mefarshim that I'd like to share. And although they don't say the following, I think each one can be rooted in a word in the Pasuk. So first, the Radak, Chizkuni, and others suggest, look at the word Vayihiyu. Vayihiyu be'enav kiyamim, it was like just a few days. In other words, this experience, this description is in retrospect. In other words, during the 7 years, it was mamish like Gehenim for Yaakov. It was very difficult. These were 7 years of pain and suffering as he was waiting for the time that he would ultimately be able to unite with his beloved Rachel. But afterwards, vayihyu, in retrospect, looking back on it, looking back, it was kiyamim achadim. It was just a short, brief blip. And I think that this reflects something regarding the specific experience, but also a broader experience of life. Very often, when somebody is going through a difficult experience, it could be even a short period of time, but when you're going through it, it feels like it is unending, it is an interminable. But, after some time has passed, and after the goal has been achieved, then looking back on it, it's like a blip in time in the past. It's just a small, brief moment in the grand experience of life. There's an interesting psychological phenomenon of the passage of time. When people get older, time seems to move for people more quickly. And there are a variety of interpretations for this psychological phenomenon. And some suggest it's simply a function of percentages. When a person is 10 years old, he is experiencing a month or a year, 10% of their life. A year is 10% of their life. So it feels like the length of time the experience is much bigger, much longer. But if a person is 100 years old and a year goes by, or a year is anticipating, then that's a hundredth of a time. So as a person experiences time differently as it relates to the length of a percentage of the length of their life. So on one level, this is how you understand Yaakov Avinu. It was mamish Gehenim when he was going through it. But afterwards, looking back on it, it was like a blip. It was just a moment. I can't even imagine what it was. And I think that this is a broader message for how we live our lives. Some people live their whole lives, and they look back, and they realize 100 years is just a blip. What did I do with these 100 years? What did I do with these 120 years? Because at the end of the day, it's just a blip in time. I'm sure many of us have heard, oh, you know, it moves so quickly. I can't believe my kids are already out of school. I can't believe my kids are already married. At some point in time, we look back and we say, it went so fast. It went in retrospect. And that demands of us that as we are going through our life experience, to ensure that we are doing it in a mindful, conscious way, in a way in which we are bringing down the Kedusha of the Shekhinah and making this life a meaningful and purposeful existence. So that you, at the end of the day, when we look back on it, it's just a blip in time. This blip in time, did we make it meaningful? Did we make it purposeful? Did we make it profound spiritually and spiritually meaningful? And there's another group of Rishonim who look at who I believe were rooted in the second word in this phrase, by you be'enok ki yamim achadim. Be'enok means it wasn't Yaakov's eyes as just a few days. In other words, the whole thing is subjective. The truth of the matter is that these 7 years were very difficult. But in Yaakov's eyes, in his subjective experience, it was like nothing. And why? Why was it like nothing? Because Yaakov Avinu, as the Chizkuni says, Avinu, depend a lot more. You would have told me he had to work for 15 years, he would have worked for 15 years. 20 years, he would have worked for 20 years. This, for his beloved Rachel, he was willing to expend much more. If I tell you, Havdil, to use a pedestrian example, I have a building in New York City in Manhattan, on Fifth Avenue in Midtown, and you can have it for $10 million. $10 million is a lot of money. If you look at the context, you will notice that Fifth Avenue in Midtown in New York City is worth $180 million. But $10 million is kachadim bela. It's nothing. And you can only pay $20 million, $30 million for $180 million building. So what Chizkuni is suggesting is that it was Be'enov, in his subjective experience, because the quote-unquote schar, the quote-unquote profit, the reward, the outcome, was worth much more, and he would be willing to pay much more for it, as it were. And this, I think, is also a broader message in life. We don't get to choose the experiences, challenges, the difficulties, the events that are buffeted up against their life experience. We don't get to choose that. But we do get to choose how we respond to it. And when it comes to the challenges of Shmiras HaMitzvos and Avodas Hashem and Limud Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, sometimes these can feel overbearing. They can feel sometimes just too much. But it's our choice to be able to look at the bigger picture and realize that the $180 million building that we're getting for $10 million, and that in the grand scheme of things, the infinity of Schar Olam Haba, of the Neshama being able to have Dvekus of Hashem for an eternity, through the process, it's all refinement, as executed through Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, it's a no-brainer almost. I would be willing to give much more for this ultimate and infinite schar. So we don't necessarily have the ability to choose what and how, but we do get to choose how we look at it. And this is true from this perspective, in terms of looking at infinite reward and ultimate schar versus the difficulties, the challenges in a finite world of executing on Avodas Hashem. But it also, and this brings us to the third point, which is the last part of this sentence, and that is Vayihu Be'enov Ki Yomim Achadim. Yomim Achadim means like just a few days, I'll peep shot. However, additionally, the word Achadim, yes, can mean from the word Echad, which means singular. That is to say, anything under 10 is Achadim, single digits. So 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, that's Yomim Achadim. But there's another meaning to Achadim, and that's from the root Chad, Ches Dalad. Now Chad can mean sharp, Chad can mean joy, and Chad can mean one. So what I'd like to suggest here is that, to take our last point and build it in a slightly different direction, life gives us all types of challenges, all types of experience. We have the experiences of Chad, which are sharp, difficult, challenging, sometimes even tsaros and suffering. And we have the experiences in life that are Chad, which are joyful, which are full of happiness. And a person's life is Chad. It is one unified experience that seamlessly weaves together both the Chad of pain and the Chad of joy. The question is, how will we define our lives? What will we choose to define our experience? Are we going to be defined by the chad of pain, which everybody has to one extent or another? Or are we going to choose to define ourselves by the chad of joy? Now, you cannot ignore the chad of pain, and you cannot deny the chad of joy. It is chad. It is all one. This is the one singular life that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given you. And now your choice is, which one are you going to focus on? Which one are you going to allow to define you? Are you going to be defined by chad of pain and live a life of victimhood, or choose to live to define yourself by chad of joy, plucking out those moments of joy, of happiness, of contentment, of peace, and allow that to define you? Ayub Einav Kiyamim Achadim. It is very true that Yaakov Avinu had difficulty. It was hard those 7 years, but he didn't allow the difficulty, the pain, and the anguish, and the anxiety of those 7 years to define who he was. Yamim Achadim, he said, these are going to be in a simcha for me. The Chassam Sofer says, Yamim Achadim refers to Yimei Simcha. And I believe that one could suggest that it's based on the chad being from the root chad of joy. So here we have three different approaches to how Yaakov Avinu, according to the simple read of the Pesachim, was able to experience these 7 years in just a few days. According to Radak and others, Chizkuni and others, in retrospect, it was just a blip in time. According to another Pesach in Chizkuni and others, it was a small price to pay versus the grand reward, quote-unquote, as it were, of being able to have a union with his beloved Rachel. And Yalim Achadim is chad meaning joy and chad meaning pain. And we have both of that all mixed up in our lives and in his life. Just as he defines his life by the chad of joy and not by the chad of pain, we have to do so as well. And in doing so, we are able to live lives of much greater profundity, lives of greater spiritual depth, lives in which we are able to see that which is good, that which is evil, and live lives of vitality, and enabling us to live lives in which we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam and get connected to the essence of our neshama. I would like to conclude tonight with a story, which I experienced last week in the Pharisee school. I'm learning in addition to the Liver for Shlema, as we said earlier, to all the chatufim, to all the hostages and the chayalim who are fighting on our behalf in Eretz Yisrael. The word echad comes from the word echad, which means one, which means whole, which means unified. And I'd like to share with you a story about echad, about achdus in Eretz Yisrael. I was visiting one of the decimated, destroyed communities just a few minutes away from the Gaza border called Kfar Aza. And as we were walking out of this community, the Sadegar Rebbe walked in. And somebody said to the Sadegar Rebbe, he says, what are you doing here? He said, it is the least that I can do to demonstrate achdus with Klal Yisrael, as this decimated community was basically now functioning as an army base. The only people that were there were chayalim, and he came to show his solidarity. I took the opportunity to walk over to him and ask him if the following story about his great-uncle, the Sadegar Rebbe, was true. And he told me that the following story was 100% true. And this is the story. His great-uncle, Avram Yaakov Friedman, the Sadegar Rebbe, was in Vienna when the Nazis invaded and during the Anschluss and took over Austria. So they attempted to demean and debase the Jewish community by demeaning and debasing and humiliating the leadership. And so they forced the Sadegar Rebbe, the great uncle of the one who I was talking to clean the streets of Vienna as a way of demeaning him and humiliating him. The story goes of Sadegar Rebbe looked to the Ribbono Shel Olam and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you save me from this terrible oppression and bring me to Eretz Yisrael. I should be Zocha to clean the streets of Eretz Yisrael, and not just clean the streets of Vienna. Indeed, the Sadegar Rebbe was saved, survived the Shoah. He made his way to Eretz Yisrael. And every Yom HaTzmaut, he would get up early in the morning, and he would live in Tel Aviv with his Hasidim, and he would walk down, take a broom, and he would sweep the streets of Tel Aviv. he would sweep the streets in Tel Aviv to demonstrate his love for Eretz Yisrael, his commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and his achdus with Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. At this point in time, which is very difficult for Achenu B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, we have to do whatever we can to create deeper connections with the Ribbono Shel Olam, deeper connections with our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and in our own communities, and in our own families. And in doing so, create a unity which will ultimately reflect and bring about the bracha of Ula Shlema B'mehera V'yameinu. Amen.